will speak unto us. And the light of God is going to shine upon our hearts, that each and every one of us will be blessed this day in the truth and the righteousness of the Most High. While this session may be brief, the Holy Spirit will be revealing deep things that would aid our lives, that will aid our journey to his eternal kingdom. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, for it is another privilege you have given unto us this evening to look at your word. And with the word, we are praying that light and life will come into our lives. Our prayer this evening is that you will speak unto us with an utterance that wakes the dead and that searches our hearts with the light and the illumination from heaven and reveal every deficiency that may make us not to be up to the mark. And Lord, eliminate every of such in Jesus' name. We are trusting in you, God, and not in ourselves. We are trusting your truth to work upon our lives. Do it, O God, and glorify yourself in Jesus' name. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because we know you've answered. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Now, this evening, by the grace of God, the topic that is before us is one that is very, very crucial. And we have titled it Tekel, from the passage we just read in the Bible reading, which we took from the book of Daniel, chapter 5, verse 27. Tekel, meaning in the Aramaic, weighed in the balances. And I believe that this subject has implications for every one of us, regardless of who we are or where we have been. And I'm trusting God to use these words to help us in our Christian journey and conduct in this world as we walk towards eternity, such that when we present ourselves to our Lord, our Savior, on that final day, and he weighs us, and he weighs our action, and he weighs our acts in this world, we will not be found wanting. So I want to quickly ask that you follow me to the book of Daniel, chapter 5, that we read. And we're going to be looking at from verse 25 to verse 27 with a particular focus on verse 27. And I can back up a little bit to Daniel chapter 5, verse 24. The Bible says, then was the part of the hand sent from him, that sent from God. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, tekel, euphrasim. And this is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God had numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances. Did you see that? Thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Now, the figure that we see today in this passage is taken from the practice of weighing the precious metals to test their purity. In those times, whenever they want to know how pure, what stuff a metal contains, it is placed on the weight, and the balance tells whether it is of the standard or not. At this time, a judgment was already made. Now, there are times in which judgment is in the future, and that's the time that we are in. Because judgment is not now. As we are speaking, it is not judgment time. It's not a time that the decision and the die is already cast. But in the case of this man, this king, Belshazzar, at the time that the handwriting was written for him to see, the die was already cast. And so, if you notice from that passage you read, all the tenses were in the past. Are you following? Now, if you look at it, it says, this is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God has numbered. He has finished it. Look at it. Thy kingdom and has finished it. Verse 27, thou art weighed in the balances. Not that God is planning to weigh you. You see, today, for the Son of Man, every one of us shall present ourselves before God to be weighed. But in this case, this man, this king was already weighed. And in the weighing, it was already found wanting, and the judgment has been proclaimed. Nobody knows when judgment will come. But I want to tell you that the result of what we see here is a function of an invisible hand tracing with his pen fingers the characters upon the wall. This hand has been following this man and has been putting the record. Has been putting the record when he never knew. Until that day in which judgment came. The same is true for every man, that an invisible hand is writing our records down on this earth. It's tracing day by day, though upon pages unseen. This record follows us live, just as it followed Belshazzar from the period of his elevation to power to the time that we read about. And I want to say that just as the day came for this king, the day is going to come when the hand that wrote and the hand now writes in invisible characters and shall trace the letters of fire against the wall of candlestick upon the wall of God's great judgment hall, and the characters that settle our eternal doom. And this hand will complete and say, this is the conclusion. So what we saw today was a pure conclusion. Are you following now? Of the life of this man. And one day, it is going to be the end of probation. You see, men, as you see, we live in probation. And God is watching us as we take our steps, as we act, as we walk, and he's looking at us. For some, on the last day, based on the life they have lived, it will be the sentence of condemnation. And so for some, on the last day, it will be the sentence of commendation. My first question for you today is, what sentence shall it be for you on that day when God will place your life work, the whole of your life, and he will place it on the balance, and upon which he is going to ask, how fearest thou in the scale of God's standard? And I want to stay very, very unequivocally, and this is why we are having this topic, that, you know, it is possible that a man will fare well based on the standard of other men. It is very possible that you will fare well based on the standard of the onlookers. It is very possible that a man will fare well based on the standards of even revered men. And they say, we will love you. We want you. And they say all manners of good things about you. But do you know that those things do not translate into how you fare in the sight of God? The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 19, verse 17, verse 9 to 10, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? So a man can be carrying out up and going about with an external show of religion, going about day after day, week after week, with a name that you bear the name of the Lord. But in the heart, God says, no, 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 no. This is not what I am looking for. As a matter of fact, men around could say, this is the man. And God says, no. So if you look at verse 10 of that Jeremiah chapter 17, the Bible says, I, the Lord, I do not see as men see. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So what we are seeing here is that while men around us who praise us, on that final day, we are going to be dealing with the one who does not look at the external, the one who does not just listen to what we say, how we preach or what we preach, but the one who pays attention to the notion, to our hearts, and to see if our heart is pure, if all our actions are from a pure heart. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13, that neither is there any creature that is not manifest before his sight. He sees all persons. Bible says all sins are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Belshazzar on that day, after the whole probation of his life, had to deal with the Lord God Almighty. And our Lord God Almighty is not a respecter of persons. His judgment is spotlessly just. He does not look at the color of your skin or the level of your education. He looks at the heart. My second question for you as we go on, is your heart right with God? You see, what will matter is not how many good things you have done to men. What will matter is not just how much work you have done in the name of the Lord. Are you following me, please? What will matter is your heart. Is your heart along the same line? Are you really following the Lord? Now, I will help you to understand this by giving examples. There was a rich young man, young ruler, and who came to Jesus Christ. And if you can recall the story, he came to Jesus Christ and he asked a question. He said, "Master, what shall I do to inherit life eternal?" And Jesus looked unto him. The Bible says, and Jesus loving him, because he loved him, he told him, "Okay, all that Moses told you, how about that?" He said, "All of this I have done from the time I was young, from my childhood even till this time." So this man was full of some good deeds. He would say, he does not commit adultery. He has not killed, but not all. And then Jesus Christ said unto him, he said, "One thing thou lackest." You see, this man might have been very, very happy or good, feeling good about himself, about the state of his life. But God, Jesus there told him, "One thing thou lackest." Say, "Go, sell all that thou hast and come, take up thy cross and follow me. And thou shalt have treasures in heaven." And that was the touchstone. The Bible says he was very, very sad. You see, what would have thought when he said, "I follow the whole laws of Moses," that this man should be given a check mark? But one of the things that you will see is that the first law is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And the second is unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said, "Sell all that thou have and give it to the poor." So he has checked every other box, but he has not checked the box of love. The love for God, to follow God. No. Brethren, men may applaud you, but is God applauding you? One thing that we should seek in our hearts is that at all times, that God is pleased with us. My third question, can you see of the truth that your heart is right with God and that God is pleased with you? How? Perhaps you're asking now, how do I know? The Bible says, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. It says, prove your own self. It says, know ye not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be a reprobate. You can know. You can have assurance of salvation. You can know by looking at the mirror of his words where you are and get an assessment of who you are. You see, this man, Belshazzar, was weighed on heaven's scales and was found seriously defective according to the standard of God's measurements. And I have said that this is different from the measure of men's standard. Men measure and weigh by different standards. You know, there are some Christians that compare themselves to others. They will say, those other people are Christians. Look at what they are doing. And they compare themselves to themselves. And I'm forgetting the fact that the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, that they that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. Do you know that those people you are comparing yourself to, a day will come, they will also stand. And you will not be compared against them. You will be compared to God's own standard. And I'm going to still talk about God's own standard briefly. There are men who compare themselves to the estimation of their fellows. And I want to tell you that on that day, when the handwriting came on the wall, if the wife of Belshazzar and his concubines and the princes, that they were all drinking together, if they were the ones to judge him, they will give him a pass mark. Now, there are people who are saying they are believers today because people around them, maybe their congregation, they give them a check mark. I want to say that it is not the estimation of men. The Bible, Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 16, verse 15, and he said unto the Pharisees, he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourself before men. You know, there are men that they just seek to check the box of other men, to get the approval of men, but not the approval of God. He said, but God knoweth your hearts. I'm reading Luke chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourself before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. I didn't write that. Jesus said that. That which men esteem is abomination in his sight. God's standard is different from man's own standard. God's measure is different from man's measure. And I want to tell you that the discrepancy you see in many congregations today is because many are carrying their own standard. And I hope that as you walk your Christian journey, you are not seeking to meet or check the box of a congregation. The Lord God Almighty has given us the word, its light, its Holy Spirit, the word of God, to check our life, to pattern our life. But that's not all. He has given unto us Jesus, who is the standard. And as a matter of fact, many times, many of the people who ought to help us to become more like Jesus, they seek to help us to become more like themselves, but not like Jesus. They help us to conform to their local or congregational measure. But I want to tell you, with the man that makes those measures, and you yourself, as I said before, you all will be and stand before the presence of God. If you will follow me quickly to the book of Ephesians, and I want to read to you the purpose of giving teachers, giving ministers, giving pastors, giving evangelists. And the purpose is made known. No, Ephesians chapter 4, I mean, chapter 4. And I read from verse 11. The Bible says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers. Verse 12, if you're there, it says, for the perfecting of saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, verse 13 now says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a what? A perfect man. Now, what is a perfect man? Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Did you see that? That God sent teachers, sent apostles, sent evangelists, teachers, pastors, so that we will come to perfection. So that when we are weighed, and Jesus is the standard, we come to the fullness of Christ and will be at that measure. In verse 14, the Bible says that we henceforth be no longer children, no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine that comes from many congregations by the sleight of men. That some people will come on the social media and say, this is what God is saying. He said, no, I can't see that in my Bible. You will say that. The Bible says, with a cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So the purpose is that we may come to that fullness of Christ. The next question I want to ask you, and I'm not by any means saying you have gotten there, but I'm saying, are you walking? Are you taking the direction to get to the fullness of Christ? Are you day by day on a steady journey on an onward journey seeking to attain the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. That is what will matter on that day. So, as we have, these words came unto Belshazzar. And I want to tell you that in different forms, it shall come to many men on their last days. The handwriting read, "Thou art weighed in the balances." And what are the divine balances? The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 2, "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits." So, one matter that calls for real and serious attention is that a man may be going about thinking everything is well, thinking he is good, thinking all is settled, that he will just show up on that final day and the words will come unto him, "Welcome, my faithful servants." But the Bible tells us it won't be so for many. So a man can be going about saying he's doing everything well because the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. But it's only the Lord that weighs the spirits. And one of the prayers we're going to be praying this evening is that God should search us. You see, if we are sought out by God now, we will not be sought out and be found wanting on that day. The Bible says that some men's sin go before them unto judgment, and some men's sin follow after them. You see, after they have gotten to judgment, their sin shows up, and every man will see. But for some men who recognize beforehand what their sin was, they presented themselves unto God, and their sins are forgiven. They confess their sins, and that sin goes before them to judgment. So that when they appear on the day of judgment, they are appearing on a clean slate. Brethren, would you appear on a clean slate on that day? Or are you the one that you are thinking that everything is fine? You're saying, "I was born in a Christian home. I grew up to be a Christian." Nobody grows up to be a Christian, by the way. "Oh, I attended Sunday school. I did this, I did that, and I still continue to do this and that." And God will say, "Why did you do that?" And all the secret things, everything will be opened. And where shall you be on that day? The Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 to 21, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." God knows if you are his. So you can come to God this evening and say, "God, search me. See if there be a wicked way in me and cleanse me from every iniquity. Oh Lord, I know that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? But God, oh Lord, I present myself unto you." The Bible then says that let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Can you say really you have departed from iniquity? Can you say really you have departed from sin completely? Or are you using service, activity to cover an unconfessed sin? I tell you, no matter the amount of activity, if the love of God, if the righteousness of God is not in you, you'll just be wasting time. Paul the Apostle, when he was talking about charity, love, he said, "Though I speak with the tongues of angels, and I have no charity," he said, "I'm like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal." He said, "Though I bestow all my goods to the poor, and I have no charity, it profited me nothing." I tell you, your labor, quote unquote, in the name of the Lord, if your heart is not right, it's only a waste of time. And I'm not saying do not labor, but first settle yourself in the presence of God. I continue to read from 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 20 there, he says, "But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of us, and some to honor and some to dishonor." You know when that would be evident? That final day. When you see brothers and sisters, they've called themselves in the church, in different congregations, with different denominations. They come out to say, "We call you brother." And then God measures what they contain. One, gold. The other, silver. The other one, dross. Impurities. Woods. Clay. And you see, when they put them on the weight, they carry no weights. And so the Bible says that if, in verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, from every dross, from every impurity, he shall be, talking about the future, from thence, moving forward, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. You know, I see many people who seek to be used by God. You know what this passage is telling us? First, settle yourself before God and give yourself fully unto God and purge everything that opposes. Confess your sins unto the Lord. Let your sin go before you to judgment and be on a clean slate before the Lord. Let God accept your persons before the Lord accept your gifts. You know, I see people many times say that the difference between Cain and Abel was that they brought blood, the other one did not bring blood. While this may be true, but the Bible wrote there, he said, and unto Cain, God did not accept his person and then his gifts. Did you know that that is written in the scripture? We can go to look at it in the book of Genesis quickly, and from chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 3, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruits of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought to the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel, Abel first, and unto his offerings. But unto Cain and unto his offering, he had not respect. Why do you think that is your offering that God is looking for? Why do you think that it is your gift that the Lord is looking for? He looks at you first and say, can I accept anything from this man? He looks at your person. So, brethren, the matter in which you are raising today is that, are you purged? And there's nothing that can purge any man. That songwriter says, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. On that day, it will not matter the amount of things you have done. Jesus Christ himself said, many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, we have done this, we have done this, we've done many wonderful works in your name. And Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, he that walketh iniquity. It's not about what you have done. It's about who you are. Are you now in Christ? The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And when on that day you come before the Lord, it is not you that is being measured, because all men have sinned and they have definitely come short of the glory of God. See, if you go to the Lord based on the amount of things you have done, you are a loser already. Because all men have sinned and they have come short of the glory of God. Unless you come to Jesus. Unless you come to abide in Jesus. Unless you remain in Christ. And let me mention that we are not talking about historical confession. We are not talking about historical knowledge of God. You must be currently in Christ. You know, I read the scripture with a lot of tenses. And pay attention, and I encourage you to do the same thing. The Bible uses the word, if any man be. See, it is be, is be currently. You know, there are many people who once gave their life to Jesus Christ, and they went back into beggarly elements, like the children of Israel. They went back into sin. They backslided. And they continued as though nothing happened. They are still living with unconfessed sin. And they are using bold face as though God will accept you. Oh, what a pity. On that day, when you present yourself to the Lord, I pray that it will not be your portion, that you will really hear this message and yield to God to confess every sin, that nothing will be between you and your God on that day. That nothing will make you to come short in the ways, in the balances of the Lord. Brethren, the Bible says about the children of Israel, because they went back. And maybe there are some of you that are saying, No, based on some of the things you are listening to on the social media. They say, God's gift is without repentance. And there's nothing you can do that will make God forsake you. What a lie. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 17 to 20, talking about the children of Israel, he says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross. They were not dross before. And all they are, brass, tin, iron, and lead in the midst of the furnace. They are even the dross of silver. They have become the dross. They've become impurity that needs to be removed, that needs to be burnt out. And that's the lot of the sinners, not the lot of the righteous. You want to make sure that that transformative power of God has worked in you, and you are before the Lord, righteous, holy. And you know the judgment that came unto them, the Bible says in verse 19, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye are all become dross. Behold, therefore, I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem, as they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace, to blow the fire upon it, to melt it. So will I gather you in my anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. That's the judgment of God, given by Ezekiel unto the children of Israel, who at the time had backslidden. Paul the apostle said it also in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. He said, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, of what sort it is, of what material is it, of what intention is it. If any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwell in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. You were once born again. You once gave your life to Jesus Christ. You started following the Lord, but today you slipped into iniquity. But you cover it up with activity. God is calling you. So that when you are tried and tested, when you are placed on the way, you will not be found wanting. God has a standard measurement, and that measure is Christ. And that measure is his word, his holy word, the Bible. And you must give yourself to the word of God. And you must walk with the Holy Spirit to help, to understand, and to diagnose the state of your heart constantly. I want to talk about conscience because it is the first line of God's deposits in our lives and in the life of every man to help us really, really examine our works. You know, in all these things, I didn't mention anybody outside. Now, people could help you. A brother, a sister, a genuine believer could be a pointer to tell you where you are. Right? But primarily, your conscience will tell you if you have yielded your conscience unto God. You've yielded your conscience. You've made a covenant with your life. Now, immediately, you start drifting away. The Holy Spirit speaks. And your conscience pricks you. Provided you don't silence it, it can be an instrument in God's hand to pull you back. Brethren, maybe you are listening to the sound of my voice today. I call you to consider your ways in the light of God's just eyes and to beseech the Lord on who you are and say, God, look at me. That 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, I quoted, it says, examine yourself and do it constantly to be sure that you are still in the faith. Prove your own self in the light of God's law, not in the light of the rules set by men. Know it not your own self, how that Jesus Christ in you. You know, on that day, the scripture is going to be presented to many. It's in the scripture. You say, no, I never knew. But no, it is in the scripture. Many of us are given opportunities. You know, when Daniel was speaking to Belshazzar, he told him the story of his father. He said, and you knew this, but you did not humble yourself. But then you are going to be judged by what you know and what you had opportunity to know that you did not know. Many will not have excuse. Many will be inexcusable because you have opportunity. I want to tell you that if you are born into a Christian home, you have exposure to the scripture, you have the opportunity to read the scripture, you are inexcusable. You may say, no, somebody did not teach me. I was listening to a message today, and the preacher said, many people have put the burden of their salvation upon other men. Maybe they are preachers, maybe they are coordinators, maybe they are teachers. They put the burden of your salvation on other men. But those men also will be presented before God just as you are. While they may account, if they are called as ministers, as pastors for you, but you also will need to account for yourself. So the word is there. Give yourself to the word. The Bible says it this way. It said, everyone shall give account of himself to God. Underline everyone. Everyone. No matter who the person is. What are the remedies? I already started talking about that. The first thing, as Psalm chapter 129, verse 23 says, it says, search me, O God. Search me, O God. And know my heart today. Try me, O God. And I want to briefly talk about trying. Some of you did not come to understand what Abraham went through to become the father of faith. Try me, O God. God tried. You know, the scripture is tested. God tested Abraham. But God tried Abraham. God tried him to the point that when he got to that level, and God said, this is your son. This is your child. Your only child. Whom thou lovest. Go and sacrifice him unto me. Do you know what happened? Abraham rose up. Took the child. Ready to sacrifice. You know what happened there? As he lifted up the knife to kill the child, God said, stop. If you go and read your Bible very well, you'll see the Bible, God says, now I know that thou fearest me. Now I know. What was God doing to Abraham? It was not just God testing him, testing with evil. God was trying to see where his love is. God was trying to see, to test his commitment. He has been working with God, and God needs to put him to test for the next level that he's going to. Many of you go to school. For you to go to the next level, many of you will do tests. To test, to see whether you are worthy. He became the father of faith. But he passed the test. He passed the trial. And so, as you are praying, this evening, you want to say, God, search me, O God. You want to say, God, try me. Try me. God will begin to put people through trials. And begin to see what sorts you are. What stuff you carry. What nature is in you. Are you sold to God or are you sold to the world? Will the things of this world get you and make a shipwreck of your life? Or are you fully sold to God that nothing in this world will matter to you? That is the one that God uses. There are many people who want to run quickly into service. Who want to run quickly into doing something for God. I want to tell you that it is not just you do for God. It is be for God and let him do through you. Let God walk through you, but God would put you through probation. And you see, a man like Abraham who waited for many, many years was put through probation. And God needed to weigh him to see what stuff he contains. Let me tell you, you are better weighed today than to be weighed and to be found wanting. If God diagnosed your heart today and see the nature of your love and sees it that it is not up to the mark, today, there is still grace. The Bible says, a bruised reed, I will not break. Talking about Jesus Christ, a bruised reed, he will not break. A smoking flax, he will not quench until he brings righteousness to judgment. You see, on the day of judgment, a bruised reed, he will break. A smoking flax, he will quench. But today, if you're willing to say, God, I'm before you, he's ready to prune you. In John chapter 15, if you will abide in him and you do not bring forth fruit, the first thing he will do is to first prune you. He will prune. And I want to beg you today, say to God, search me and try me, O God, and know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be any wicked way in me that will make me to fall short and fall short of your standard. Search me. And cleanse me from every sin, every wickedness. Lord, I pray. If Belshazzar has been sought out before that final day, the story would not have ended the way it ended. The other thing you need to do, and we all need to do, and I mentioned this slightly, is a good conscience. It's a good conscience. It helps. If we do not have a good conscience, let's run and go and possess it now. It's necessary And how do we possess a good conscience? It's a soul that is illuminated by the word of God. A soul that is sensitive to every false acts, false thoughts, false, call it anything, actions. Very sensitive. And your soul cannot be sensitive unless the word of God is seated in it. That's why the Bible says it is not good that a soul be without knowledge. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2. That a soul be without knowledge, it is not good. See, I see many people today who do not read the scripture. No personal study of the scripture. The devil comes and come with deceits, and easily men fall. And it's only the blood of Jesus that can purify our soul. Our soul needs sanctification, consecration, wholeness, and purification. Time will not permit me. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2 to 10. And let me just read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 22. Here the Bible says, let us draw near with a true heart. Did you see true heart? There is false heart. Let's draw near. Let's have communion with the Father. In full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's sanctification. Pure water. Pure water. You must learn to draw near in devotion. As I wrap up, I want to say, and I've said it before, some men, their sin go before them unto judgment. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24. Their sins are open beforehand and going unto judgment. And for some, their sin follow after. The last question I'm going to ask you, where should your shortcomings appear? Today? While you're still here? On the day of judgment, when there will be no chance. The Bible told us about Belshazzar that night, the kingdom was taken away from him. He was killed. That was the end of the road for him. By the grace of God, many of us have life. And if the Lord tarries, we have life ahead of us. But we don't know when time will come to an end. Whether Jesus Christ coming, or whether we ourselves, we go. We don't know. Why not settle the matter before God today? That God should set you and help you that you not be found wanting on that final day. When that pronouncement came unto Belshazzar from Daniel, wait, but thou art found wanting. Today, God may still be saying, I will, I will, I will. But on one day, he will say, I've done it. It's a concluded matter. And this is your loss. I pray that will not end. Our life will not end. Our journey will not end. Our spirituality will not end on a sad note. Time will fail us to look at many other verses and many other passages of the scripture. But I want to tell you that no man can be up to the mark by himself. And on that last day, the nations will be weighed in God's balances. Just like the nation of Israel and many other nations, like the nations of the Amalekites and the Jebusites, were judged before God. But not only nations, groups of people will be placed on the balances. Congregations will be placed on the balances. In some series that is to start, we're going to talk about the churches in Asia Minor. God talked about those churches. He said they left their first love. Ephesus, to Smyrna, he said, they are poor, but they are rich. To Pergamos, he said, they carry the doctrine of Balaam, and they owe the doctrines of Nicolaitans. If you look at the book of Revelation chapter 2, verse 20, Jesus Christ was speaking to the church in Thyatira. He said, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. To that rich man, he said, one thing that thou lackest. To this church in Thyatira, he said, a few things against you. brethren, on that final day, I hope nothing will stand against you. Let us pray. At this time, you want to commit yourself unto the hands of the Lord. And if you want to sing that song or speak in prayer the words of the song, search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O God, and know my thoughts, I pray. They say, see if there be any wicked way in me. Say, cleanse me. Cleanse me from every sin. Lord, can you pray to the Lord that God will help you? And the King of Kings will help you. You see, the one that we are going to be dealing with on that final day is not a man like us. Can you ask the Lord, search me and see if there be any wicked way in me? Cleanse me from every sin. Cleanse me from every iniquity. Cleanse me from every evil work and do your work in me. Oh God, I do not want to get there on the final day. And God says, you are one thing. You are lacking in something. Oh God, after all the labor, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me, oh God, that I will not from the church land in hell. That I will not share place with men that never heard the gospel. Oh, I will not share a place with the devil. A place made for the devil and all of his angels. Open your mouth and pray to the Lord. That God will help you. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Our Father, in heaven, we thank you for this evening. We are asking for each and every one of us that none of us will be found wanting. We are praying that, Lord, you will search us. And if there be any way that is unknown to us, that is not known to us, and perhaps all our ways seems right before us today, we don't want to get on that final day and realize that there is something between, that there is a draw somewhere that makes us fall short. Have mercy upon us, O God. Search us today. Try our hearts. Try our love. Try our commitment, O God. And if there is any bruised root in our life, Daddy, please help us. Heal us. If any part of our life is smoking, our spiritual life is smoking, oh God, oh Lord, we pray, do not quench, but have mercy. Give us oil, oh God, that will not carry empty cans about. That will not carry empty cans like those five foolish virgins. Oh, the Bible says it is foolishness. Have mercy upon us, that we have oil in our lives, and we keep on burning and burning till you come. So that when that voice comes, behold, the bridegroom cometh, we are ready. Ready to go with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, give us oil. Daddy, help us to go on. Help us to ride on. Help us to be faithful and to be fervent in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because we know you have answered. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen, and God bless you.